Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Teaching with Poverty in Mind by educator and brain-based learning advocate Eric Jensen examines how chronic economic hardship can shape a child's development and day-to-day school performance. Using widely discussed research from neuroscience, psychology, and education, Jensen connects the realities of poverty to classroom factors teachers can observe, such as stress reactivity, attention, memory, language exposure, health-related absences, and social behavior. The book is written for practitioners who want an actionable framework rather than a purely sociological overview. It argues that poverty is not a fixed destiny, and that schools can reduce academic and behavioral gaps when adults understand the underlying risk factors and respond with targeted supports. Along the way, Jensen emphasizes relationship building, a calmer and more predictable learning environment, explicit skill instruction, and school-wide practices that strengthen resilience. The result is a practical lens for educators and leaders who want to teach with greater empathy while still maintaining high expectations and measurable growth. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how poverty-related chronic stress affects learning. A central theme is that poverty often brings persistent stressors that can become biological, not just emotional. Jensen highlights how ongoing uncertainty, exposure to conflict, housing instability, food insecurity, and neighborhood danger can keep a child's stress response activated. In school, this may show up as hypervigilance, impulsivity, quick frustration, difficulty sustaining attention, or shutdown behaviors that are easily misread as defiance or laziness. The book frames these responses as adaptations to a harsh environment, which means discipline and instruction work better when they account for stress physiology. From a classroom standpoint, the message is to reduce avoidable stressors and increase predictability. Routines, clear transitions, and calm adult responses help students regain a sense of safety. Jensen also connects stress to memory and executive function, suggesting that high pressure, public failure, or chaotic classrooms can make it harder for students to encode and retrieve learning. By treating self-regulation as a skill to be taught, not a trait to be demanded, educators can make academic work more accessible and reduce behavior escalation. Secondly, risk factors that commonly accompany poverty, rather than presenting poverty as a single cause, the book organizes it through overlapping risk factors that frequently travel together. These include health and nutrition challenges, higher mobility rates, limited access to early childhood enrichment, fewer books and language-rich interactions, and increased exposure to trauma or environmental hazards. Jensen argues that the cumulative load matters. Multiple moderate risks can produce outcomes similar to one severe risk. In practical terms, this framing helps schools move from blaming families to identifying what supports are missing. For example, inconsistent attendance may be linked to transportation or caregiving demands, while low stamina and irritability may be linked to sleep disruptions or food insecurity. The book encourages educators to look for patterns and to partner with counselors, nurses, and community agencies when academic interventions alone are insufficient. It also underscores that risk factors are not universal. Poverty does not look the same in every community. A useful takeaway is that schools can create systems to identify barriers early, coordinate services, and reduce the hidden costs of poverty that interfere with engagement, homework, and consistent progress. Thirdly, relationships as the foundation for engagement and resilience. Jensen repeatedly stresses that positive relationships are not an add-on but a primary intervention. Students experiencing poverty may have fewer reliable adult supports outside school or may have learned to distrust adults due to instability. In that context, a teacher's consistency, fairness, and emotional control can function as a stabilizing force. The book emphasizes that relationship building is compatible with high expectations. Caring adults can deliver rigorous instruction while also creating psychological safety. Practical implications include greeting students, using respectful language, repairing conflict after incidents, and building classroom community so peers become assets rather than stressors. Jensen also points to the importance of adult credibility. Students are more likely to comply and persist when they believe the adult is predictable, competent, and on their side. Relationship-centered classrooms can reduce behavior problems, but the deeper benefit is academic. Students take more risks, ask for help sooner, and remain engaged longer. The book encourages educators to view trust as instructional infrastructure. Without it, interventions feel like control. With it, interventions feel like support, increasing resilience and making learning more durable over time. Fourthly, classroom strategies that support the brain and boost achievement. The book translates research-informed ideas into concrete approaches teachers can try immediately. Jensen emphasizes instruction that is explicit, multisensory, and structured, with frequent checks for understanding so students do not fall behind silently. Because stress can reduce working memory and attention, lessons may need shorter chunks, clear learning targets, and active processing through discussion, writing, movement, and retrieval practice. He also highlights the role of physical activity, play, and arts as legitimate tools for cognitive development and emotional regulation, not rewards reserved for compliant students. Another recurring recommendation is to teach social-emotional skills directly, including self-monitoring, goal setting, and conflict resolution, so that students build the executive functions that school assumes. The book also encourages using positive reinforcement strategically and creating opportunities for success early in a lesson to build momentum. Importantly, Jensen frames rigor as supportive scaffolding rather than lowered standards. By combining high expectations with pathways to meet them, educators can help students strengthen attention, memory, language, and problem-solving even when outside conditions remain difficult. Lastly, School-Wide Leadership, Building Systems That Buffer Poverty Beyond Individual Teaching Techniques, Jensen argues that sustainable impact requires coordinated school-wide practices. A single caring teacher helps, but consistent norms across classrooms reduce confusion and stress for students. The book points toward aligned behavior expectations, trauma-informed responses, and staff training so adults share a common understanding of poverty-related challenges. It also supports the idea of integrating wraparound services when possible, such as counseling, health supports, after-school programs, family outreach, and partnerships with local organizations. Jensen highlights that data should be used to remove barriers, not to label children. Attendance, discipline referrals, and course performance can signal where systems are failing to provide access. Leadership is urged to protect time for collaboration, ensure strong interventions for reading and language development, and invest in enrichment opportunities that middle-class students often receive outside school. Another important school-wide element is culture. Students thrive in environments where effort is praised, adults believe growth is possible, and classrooms are orderly without being harsh. The overall message is that schools can act as stabilizing institutions that reduce the academic and emotional impact of poverty when they operate intentionally and collectively. In conclusion, this book is best suited for teachers, instructional coaches, principals, school counselors, and district leaders who work with students affected by poverty and want a practical way to connect behavior, engagement, and achievement to underlying conditions. It also serves teacher preparation programs and professional learning communities that need a shared vocabulary for discussing equity without turning the conversation into blame or helplessness. The benefit to a reader's life is immediate and professional. It can shift daily interactions from reactive to strategic, improving classroom climate, reducing burnout, and helping educators interpret student actions through a more accurate lens. Jensen's emphasis on relationships, predictable environments, and explicit skill building offers approaches that can increase learning time and strengthen resilience even when external challenges persist. Compared with similar books that focus primarily on policy or on broad social critique, this one is valued for its classroom-centered orientation and its attempt to translate widely known research themes into routines educators can implement. For buyers, the strongest reason to choose it is that it links compassion with concrete action, helping schools maintain high expectations while building the support students need to meet them. If you would like to support Eric Jensen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.